101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
Oh, Saturday. We're here again. They didn't throw us out. Isn't that great, James? They didn't get rid of us. Yeah, got to be happy about that. We're very excited to be filling in this Saturday night time slot with the Mark Hoke Show. And, you know, we are the number one professional wrestling show in Las Vegas. And, yeah, we're not doing too bad. James, I got the ratings last week. Did you see what we did? Holy cow.
Head of the table.
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe we'll get Roman Reigns in here. We'll have a debate about that. But thank you for joining us. We really do appreciate it. Normally, we do our show on Sundays at 8 a.m., but KDON has been kind enough to ask us to fill in a time slot here on Saturday night. They figure, well, we've already got him locked in the booth, so let him babble for an hour. It's all good. But we're doing a little bit more than that, having a great time. And, of course, I am flanked by our fill-in superstar sub-co-host. I haven't figured out what the title I have to make you, but James Samuels here. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, boss? How's it going?
Well, it's going. Kind of
trying to go from substitute to permanent teacher.
Yeah.
Trying to get my,
you're on the team.
Own class.
You're on the team.
Okay.
Yeah, you're on the team. It's all good.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Oh, man. I'll tell you, got a wild World Series game going on here. Atlanta just went deep 2-2. Going to the bottom of the seventh. Oh, and another ball just got stroked.
Atlanta.
And that one's gone,
to
too.
3-1.
I'm doing Ken Thompson, SportsX Radio's job here. And ATL has just gone up 3-2. But anyway.
I'm going to pull the big Foley move and do a cheap plug of myself, supervisor at El Cortez. You know, if you guys want to do some bets, come there.
Yeah, there you go. El Cortez is a fun place. Get down there on Fremont Street and say it out to my buddy James. Well, you know, it's amazing. When it seems like things are settling down a little bit, you know, we're just getting to watch a few TV shows and enjoy some matches. The bombshells just keep on coming. This is really an unprecedented era in professional wrestling. But the news this week, you know, not expansion, but contraction, supposedly just for now. But, wow, Ring of Honor. And for those that you know, are not familiar with Ring of Honor, they've been around for about 20 years. And if you have been watching AEW, if you've been watching WWE for the last decade, you know a lot of the guys that have come out of Ring of Honor.
One of the most important promotions in the history of wrestling, I believe.
Absolutely.
Due to, you know, a lot of the talent, like you just alluded to, that is on the shows they watch have come through there. They have learned there. Some of the most legendary matches were there. CM Punk versus Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe versus Daniel Bryan. Christopher Daniels was a big guy there, too. So, you know, there's a lot of good history there.
Yeah. To just kind of give you a rundown of some of the people that have come out of Ring of Honor, you mentioned Samoa Joe, Austin Aries, CM Punk, Homicide. Nigel McGuinness has been doing announcing now because of his injury. Tyler Black, who is, of course, Seth Rollins. Roderick Strong, who's on the WWE NXT roster. Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards, the American Wolves, of course, on Impact. Kevin Steen, who is Kevin Owens. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. You know, you mentioned Christopher Daniels, Cody Rhodes. It's just a list of people that, had they all been able to stay in Ring of Honor and not, you know, gotten scarfed up by WWE and AEW, are main eventers around the world. And, well, you know, and I was a big Ring of Honor fan, and, you know, still am.
So was I as well, still am.
So on Thursday, Ring of Honor put a statement out. Throughout the pandemic, our top priority was to keep everyone healthy and safe, and despite not producing any live events over 18 months, we were able to keep everyone fully contracted. We now find ourselves at a time where we need to make changes to our business operations and are planning a pivot for Ring of Honor with a new mission and strategy. The year will culminate with a final battle in December, and we will be taking the first quarter of 2022 to work internally to reimagine ROH. ROH has the most dedicated fans in the industry, and we appreciate their loyalty and patience as we reconceptualized ROH. We anticipate returning to live events in April for the Super Card of Honor with a new fan-focused product and provide a unique experience for wrestling fans. So this hits the interwebs. And dear Lord, I was actually home when this statement came out and watched Twitter and Facebook just explode. And it has been nonstop ever since. COO Joe Koff did do one interview, and I actually knew Joe a little bit from some other dealings that I had in at a past job. I reached out to him. He said, well, I'm doing one interview, promised an exclusive, so I can't do it. But Joe and I did get to talk a little bit, and they do plan to restart Ring of Honor. But all of the contracted employees, wrestlers, everyone, have been released from their contracts. They're going to finish up, I think, December 11th with Final Battle, their last pay-per-view. Well, hopefully it's not, but... And then they're going into hiatus, and a lot of good people are going to be out of jobs. It is an absolute shame what's going on there. But, James, let me start with this. What was your impression when you heard this announcement?
I think it was great for their organization, because I feel like they probably felt that they were going by the wayside and they were going to be irrelevant. So I think they used this to become relevant. As you say, we're the number one show, and we're opening our show talking about them. When would that ever be a situation? So they're getting talked about. They're, like you said, they had Twitter on fire. So now I think what it comes to is you build the anticipation for that card that you have in December. You have a knockout card, and then you have the anticipation for a new Ring of Honor, whatever that entails.
Well, and then all of a sudden there was another report, by the way, that came out from Sports Illustrated that said the Ring of Honor video library has been up for sale for over a year, which really made me suspicious.
I have breaking news on that, or potential breaking news.
Okay.
Is that AEW is the favorite on acquiring those.
And that would certainly make sense. Apparently, the price that ROH was asking for that was ridiculously high. But my question on that is, if you're planning on coming back, why are you selling that video library? That just made no sense to me. No, unless they were just that desperate to get revenue.
I think it was that. They needed a boost to sign. Maybe they have an idea of someone they want to sign or things they want to do. I think to do that, I think they would have to profit. I think that's their fastest way to get some money.
Yeah, and certainly, the talents that are there, a lot of great wrestlers. And if you didn't watch Ring of Honor, they were on the CW. Well, I shouldn't, and I keep saying "were" because they're not done yet, but they are on the CW. And if you haven't tuned in, I really did question some of the decisions that Ring of Honor made. With, for example, when they went into the pandemic, they really went into hiding. I mean, it was they taped a lot of shows way ahead of time. They put some people on top that I questioned a little bit. You had Rush was their champion, and Rush is out of Mexico. And then Bandido at one of the pay-per-views won the Ring of Honor world title from him. And, you had Tracy Williams as the TV champ for a while. And of course you had Dragon Lee, who's, another luchador who's, a terrific wrestler, don't get me wrong, but not the kind of guys that, when you think about it, are going to get you to tune in. And then when you have no fans, you've taped so far out, You know, I just think that, you know, they reacted badly to the COVID situation and, you know, never pulled out of it.
I don't think they have the talent to compete right now. It's just, they just don't. They just don't have anyone to really make you want to watch them. Like, Impact at least has some people that makes you tune in. AEW, of course, and the WWE, of course. So they just are not in the position to compete. And I think by them doing what they're doing, I think they have a slimmer of a chance to compete, but they have to knock it out of the park for that December show.
Well, and when I thought about the Ring of Honor situation, I really went back to the past with the AWA, which was Vern Gagne's promotion up in Minneapolis. You had the WWF in back there, you had the NWA, but there was also the AWA, who you know people around here might remember. They were taping at the Showboat in Las Vegas on ESPN, were starting to grow, and then Vince McMahon just raided them. He'd already gotten Hulk Hogan, but then, you know, he went in and got the Rockers, which is, of course, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, Scott Hall and Kurt Hennig, and the list just went on and on and on. By the time Vince got done, you know, I don't know if Vern made him mad or something, but I think Vince saw his competition and went in and just took everybody out. And now I felt like they were kind of doing the same thing. I don't think it was as malicious as it was with the AWA, but you would see, you know, Tyler Black gone, Bryan Danielson gone. And it just kept going and going. But then you had a lot of the guys that are now in AEW in there, along with, you know, talents like Jay Lethal and the Briscoes and Dalton Castle and so many other guys. You know, they were really in a position in around 2016, 17, 18-ish to be the AEW. They really were. But Joe Coffin and the team decided not to pull the trigger and really up the production. You know, they were touring. I mean, they were doing pretty well, but they decided to just stay where they were. And even Joe, saw that on Coldaholic, where he did the interview with PWI Insider. But, you know, he said, I was too cautious in 2018 and missed an opportunity the AEW took. And, you know, look what AEW is doing now. And, of course, their own Ring of Honor is owned by Sinclair Broadcasting, which has TV stations all over the country, obviously. So the door was open, and they had the television venue to grow and expand, but they didn't do it. And, you know, and then Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and the boys, Kenny Omega, decided, you know what, let's, you know, they made the All-In pay-per-view, and it was successful, and then they got Tony Khan involved, and off AEW went. So, you know,
I think another turning point was when they let WWE get the recruiting talent from FSW before they did. Because think about it. If they were able to get a Chris Bay or a Karrion Kross over in ROH before the WWE did, they would have more eyes. But they continuously let WWE and AEW get talent from that promotion and other good promotions as well. So I think that is what they have to rectify going into that December show.
Well, and there's a lot of speculation about Ring of Honor, too, that they had so many guys under contract, and they had some expensive contracts. And without, you know, the house show revenues and, you know, weren't drawing the TV ratings that they had been in the past, that it just kind of tailed off. And then COVID hit. And really kind of put the nail in the coffin here. You know, sorry, Joe. Don't mean it. Joe Coffin. Yeah, anyway. But it's a sad situation. And one thing that you're seeing from a lot of the talent there, over the past few days, I don't know, James, if you've been on Twitter or not, but I can tell you they are putting up, hey, you know, I'm taking bookings. You know, here's my contact information. You know, drop me a line. And, you know, I saw Silas Young, a guy that I really liked in Ring of Honor, put up, hey, this is my first independent show I'm doing in 6 years. And I saw Dalton Castle's doing a show up in Portland that they sold out. And then obviously you're going to have a situation where AEW and WWE are going to be, you know, have to be looking at the talent that's there and, you know, try to figure out if they want to absorb these guys. And boy, it's going to, that whole situation is going to be interesting, I think, to see where.
I can definitely see Dalton Castle on the new NXT 2.0. I can definitely see that. I think that might be a thing coming up soon.
You know, and I was, and honestly, when I look at the talent roster there, it's tricky for WWE because they have now made, they've made no bones about it. We're not taking smaller guys. We're not taking older guys. And, you know, a lot of those guys, you know, you think about the Undisputed Era, which was their hottest faction in NXT, all Ring of Honor guys, Fish, O'Reilly, Cole, Roderick Strong. Those guys really, you know, even though two of them are still there, would
and
not fit
older,
this new mold.
Older guys.
Yeah, they released Bobby Fish. He's now in AEW and looking great. But I wonder how many of the Ring of Honor guys would really fit the Vince McMahon mold. And then on the other side, with AEW, you've got such a loaded talent roster over there. You know, how many of those people are really going to fit in? Or is AEW just going to want to try and scarf up whoever they can? And another factor that I had thought of as well is, do you want to get these guys under contract so that when Ring of Honor, you know, decides, hey, we're going to blow this thing up and, you know, start over, new promotion, new, you know, fresh beginning, that these guys aren't available because you just, you know, decided, hey, we're going to put them on a roster and keep them away. And I'm wondering if that's going to play into anybody's minds when they're signing contracts. Now, what'd you think about that, James?
That's a tough one to me. Like you said, WWE is, they're going a bit, like, it reminds me of the 80s. Like, bigger guys, more character-y. Because doesn't that 2.0 kind of seem gimmicky to you?
Well, and, no? Yeah, and that, you know, obviously that's got Vince McMahon, John Laurinaitis, who's the head of talent relations and then the executive vice president, Bruce Pritchard. That is all, that's got their grubby little handprints all over it. All over it. And you wonder if this is going to work out for them. You know, and then, because you're watching the matches on AEW and you're like, okay, these are smaller guys, but they're incredible. You know, and Vince just, you know, it's funny if you follow Cultaholic at all, which is a great site. You know, Ross Tweedle, you know, has this thing on one of his shows that he does on YouTube. So, well, Vince McMahon likes big sweaty men, and that's where they're headed. So, you know, how many of the guys in Ring of Honor would fit that mold that Vince would want to take a chance on? And
the only one I could see is Castle. He could be gimmicky enough for Vince, and Vince can do a lot of, like, his little, you know, middle school humor with him. So that's why I believe he'll be there.
That's the only one I can see. Yeah, and I totally agree with you. If you have never seen Dalton Castle, get on your little YouTube right now. And Dalton Castle, his main character that got him over and he ended up winning the Ring of Honor world title, he was the Peacock. And Dalton came out in these glittery jumpsuits and the wings underneath and had the boys, which were two guys that looked like they were show boys at the Tropicana. I mean, and it was hilarious. I mean, Dalton would, I still remember a promo that was going on when he did that with Jay Lethal, where the boy, he would, you know, use them as staircases to get in the ring, and, you know, they would make a chair for him, all that stuff. And I remember when Dalton made him do a little couch thing where Dalton kind of laid down the ring on top of him. And then he said, Jay, you want to have a seat? And one of the boys popped up and sat there, you know, made a chair for him. It was, and even when he was a heel, it was still pretty funny. I mean, and Dalton just pulled everybody in. And then when he changed over to being a face, everybody was like, wow, you know, this guy's awesome. And everybody loved him. I think Dalton is probably the best fit to go to WWE. You know, as long as he's healthy, I think he's a guy. And then you've got, of course, Jay Lethal is the big question. Now, does somebody, one of those two, bring him in? Of course, Jay's kind of been the mainstay of Ring of Honor.
I think he knows Impact.
He could go back to Impact too. You know, that's certainly a possibility. I would love to see him in AEW. I think he would be a great fit. And it's about time Jay got back on the big stage. So,
Or what about a veteran in the NXT 2.0? They still need names for those, you know, new guys they want to push to wrestle.
Well, and you've got guys there, you know, and a few that came to mind to me was somebody like Shane Taylor, who was the world TV champion in there and is currently one of the 6-man tag champs. Big guy, agile. He's a guy. Silas Young is another guy who's got the build.
I can see him on Impact. I can see Taylor on Impact.
Yeah. And of course, the Briscoes, the 11-time world tag team champions for Ring of Honor. You know, just they got a little radioactive because Jay made some comments about gay marriage back in, what was that? It was 2013, if I'm correct. You know, you got Josh Woods, you know, and some others. But then you have a guy like Jonathan Gresham, who's one of the best wrestlers in the world, period, end of story. They don't call him the Octopus for nothing. And we'll see what he could do. Flip Gordon's another guy. Of course, EC3 ended up in there, and all of a sudden, you know, that's over. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I think a lot of the luchador guys like Dragon Lee, you know, Roosh is related to Andrade, so you know, they can end up in AEW. It's gonna be a pretty volatile situation here over the next few months as ROH wraps up their operations, and then you've basically got a dark period where anything can happen with these people. So, pretty interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll. And Joe, I swear I'm going to get you on the show sometime. I'm going to do it. I really want to get Joe Koff on the show and talk about that. But you know, obviously, pretty hectic time for him as well. You know, certainly, I'm sure when you're the CEO of an operation a lot of people really loved, I would imagine his email box filled up pretty quick, to say the least. Wow. Well, I'm Mark Hoke, by the way. We are here on The Mark Hoke Show, a special Saturday night edition coming at you with James Samuel joining me. And, of course, once again, we're going to be back on tomorrow at 8 a.m., 11 p.m. Eastern time for you guys out on the East Coast. You know, just enough time before football. You can tune in and check us out. And we're going to have, of course, our Joe DeFalco is coming back. So he'll be calling in. And he's missing his first FSW show tonight, by the way. Of course, he runs Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas. His first miss, which is really sad, but of course his mother passed away, and we wish Joe all the best. And of course Andrew Fish Fane is going to be in the house too, one of the co-hosts on Monday with Fish and Chips on SportsX Radio, fills in for Ken Thompson on Mondays. So we're looking forward to a great show tomorrow as well. So wow, I mean, I'm still trying to catch my breath over this whole thing with Ring of Honor. It's stunning. I mean, I don't even know. You know, It's certainly going to be speculative about, you know, where all this is going to go, but you know, we'll try and stay on top of it for you. So, but as we get ready to head into the second half of the show, of course, there's a lot more going on. Bray Wyatt's got a new name, and why he and Charlotte Flair are kind of in the same boat. And we'll talk about AEW Dynamite Rampage, a lot of interesting stuff going on there. And you know, if we have time, we'll get to talk about Moose and Cesaro as well. So, everybody, hey, it's going to be a terrific second half of the show. We are real excited to have you joining us here on The Mark Hoke Show. And make sure you can follow us on Facebook at The Mark Hoke Show, Twitter at Mark Hoke Show. Check out the website, markhokeshow.com, and all sorts of other fun stuff. And we got the YouTube videos up there, too, if you like to listen to us on YouTube and download the show at markhokeshow.podbean.com or any of your favorite podcast outlets. So stick around, everybody. We will be right back on The Mark Hoke Show, coming on back in about 3 minutes. Stick around.
101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the talk of Las Vegas. This is The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Oh, yeah. Saturday night. A special for all of you. What a treat. You know, for us to get to do an extra show here on KDWN 101.5 FM, 720 AM, the talk of Las Vegas. We're having some fun. James Samuel with me along for the ride, sitting in the co-pilot seat. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, boss?
Yeah, well, we're doing a radio show. I'm producing it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I swear to God, I just need, you know, there's a really nice couch out here on the second floor, and maybe I should just utilize it from now on. You know, because I produce the Common Ground show that's on here from 6 to 8. Great show with Pat Sal and co-host Dean. And then I have to do the Harvey Hyde show coming up here at 9 o'clock, which, of course, the Trojan football report. Easy for me to say. So you want to find out what's going on with USC and around the world of college football, make sure you stick around after we're over. But, man, I'll tell you, I do all the evening shows, Steve Sanchez show. SportsX Radio, so I'm here in the evenings, every night, here's Saturday night, back in Sunday morning. I think I'm insane. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, they should put your plaque on the wall somewhere.
Yeah, maybe they should. Well, there is a wall of pictures of hosts. You know, maybe I need to talk to the boss around here and see if they'll stick my picture up there. That'd be kind of fun. Well, another guy whose picture was all over the internet a couple days ago, the former Bray Wyatt, of course, former WWE and Universal Champion, son of Mike Rotunda, because you might know him as IRS, and nephew of Barry Windham of the Four Horsemen. Of course, those guys were a great tag team, the U.S. Express. Of course, and Bray, you know, was the supernatural character and got released a little while ago. Well, the 90-day clause is up, and the former Bray Wyatt took to Twitter and is now Wyndham. Now, not sure if it'll be Wyndham Rotunda when he gets back in the ring, but he is now available to work for any company. Has a little hashtag going on, Cult of Wyndham, with a K on Twitter. So Bray Wyatt, or should I say Wyndham Rotunda, is a free man. Congratulations. Let's give him a round of applause.
And I'm so excited to talk about this because he is my favorite wrestler in the industry. So I'm so excited to talk about this.
Well, you know, according to some sources, he was not a favorite in the back. This was a report by Ringside News that a WWE source said that Wyatt, quote, deserved to be let go by the company. The statement that this source said, not being apologist or WWE defender, just telling you like it is, if you were running a business and Wyndham was on your payroll, you'd release him too. Between his backstage antics and the way he handled himself when making millions and millions while medically flagged, he really deserved to be released. Wyndham replied on Twitter at Ringside News, now that we have Johnny and Bruce, of course, the two gentlemen from WWE we mentioned earlier, have Johnny and Bruce's opinion, I would like to share mine soon. Hashtag Cult of Wyndham. And the reason that I bring this up along with the Charlotte Flair situation, Charlotte, you know, had that little kerfuffle in the ring last week with Becky Lynch and Sonya Deville, got in the fight backstage, and she got pulled from all the WWE appearances that she was supposed to have this week, too. She did wrestle on SmackDown last night. But, you know, one thing that really bothers me about this whole situation is now we're hearing, oh, you know, and admittedly so, it sounds like Charlotte really got herself in a lot of trouble with everybody in the back. But at the same time, I think she suffered from the same thing that Wyndham did with they were both trying to protect their character, and WWE ruined him, absolutely ruined him. He went from being the hottest thing in WWE to cinematic matches in swamps, getting lit on fire. You know, he really didn't get lit on fire. They lit a dummy up. It was one of the worst things I've ever seen in a wrestling ring. And just turned the Bray Wyatt, then the Fiend character, into a joke. And, you know, and just embarrassed him at WrestleMania. You know, and so everybody's saying, well, you know, he's hard to deal with. He's very creative and he wants to keep control of the character and we can't work with him. But, you know, it's funny that the same thing is happening with Charlotte. We talked about last week on the show that Charlotte was, you know, has been not treated well in terms of storylines by WWE at times. So I I'm curious to see where this is all going to shake out before he decides where he's going to wrestle. And by the way, he turned down a deal from Impact, so he is not going at Impact. You know, pretty intriguing. But you know, James, do you see where the frustration might be with Wyndham? Excuse me.
Absolutely. So he had one of the most compelling debut characters ever. He has his vignette for a couple, you know, weeks, and then saying, we're coming. And then he says, we're here. Blows the candle out. He comes out with the late Bernie Lee Harper, who looks like the most scariest, you know, woodsman ever with the stained shirt. Then he has another bigger dude with a sheep mask on. Eric Rowan. And he's saying these great promos. He has a great character. He has the whole crowd saying he has the world in his hand, and then he loses to John Cena at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and it wasn't just John Cena too. You had him lose to Goldberg at one of the Crown Jewel events. You had the situation with Randy Orton, and every time he managed to rebuild himself, and then just got his legs chopped out from under him.
And then look at the character development in the Fiend at first. Every time the Fiend wrestled a wrestler, they changed. Seth Rollins went from his normal self to the Monday Night Messiah. Daniel Bryan went from his normal self to the People's Champ, to the Planet Champion. Finn Balor went from normal Finn Balor to Prince, the Prince persona of Finn Balor. He turned Alexa Bliss to her Twisted Bliss character. So it was a lot of character development, a lot of good storytelling, especially in that Firefly match with John Cena. It was a lot of compelling storytelling that he was coming with.
It was terrific.
You're coming with that every week to your job, and you're giving them the best that you can do, and they keep butchering you for year after year. Every time that you come back, they butcher you again.
Yeah, and we can't forget about that Hell in the Cell match, which got voted worst match of the year with Seth Rollins. And I'm trying, and it's still so hard. I mean, you know, I saw that match, and it was just miserable. But to imagine that Wyndham and Seth Rollins could have a bad match in Hell in a Cell because Vince McMahon decided, you know, we're going to do this, and they both hated it, and it was a total disaster and, you know, ruined him again. It was just, you know, so.
And he had a great Hell in a Cell match with Roman Reigns. So it's not like he's not capable of having a good Hell in a Cell match. It was the creative booking that they did in that said match.
And that's the point that I'm trying to make with Charlotte as well. And so many different storylines in WWE. They just, it reminds me of, you know that scene in Tommy Boy where he's sitting in the restaurant and, you know, he's trying to get the chicken wings and the waitress is standing there. And you know, she says he can't get them. And then, you know, he starts talking about his sale and how he just takes it in his hands and he's got the pretty little sale and then just crumbles it and destroys it. That's what's going on. That's what's going on at WWE right now. So I don't know whose side you really could be on there, but WWE Creative really messed him up. And I hope that he gets a good shot in AEW. Or, of course, there's still a possibility he could resign, which would be stunning. But you never know. Crazier things have happened. You know, and then getting into, you know, and then speaking of the WWE, hey, did you get that email that they sent out? Hey, tune in for the new era of Raw and SmackDown. Did you get that email, James?
I did not.
Ah, I guess you got to get on WWE's mailing list. Yeah, the new era. Okay.
I've been a radio guy for a couple months now, so I'm not as famous as you yet.
Yeah, well, you can trust me. It's not hard to get on WWE's mailing list. Yeah, so we got... On Raw, we got a rematch with Zelina Vega and Doudrop. We got a rematch with Carmella and Liv Morgan.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, isn't that exciting?
No.
Exactly. We got on SmackDown, we got the New Days and the Usos again. You know, good match, but I think we've kind of seen that one before. We got
12 times.
We've gotten more of Shinsuke Nakamura and Baron Corbin.
Wow.
In that disastrous trick-or-treat match, whatever the heck that was. Boy, did you ever think the day you'd see Shinsuke Nakamura wearing a pumpkin on his head?
Ugh. No.
No. Just disaster after disaster. But, you know, on the good side, you know, because I can't just totally tear him apart. Fantastic ladder match that they had on Raw with Seth Rollins winning a shot at the WWE title, beating Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and Finn Balor. I need to get to watch the whole match that happened with Shotzi Blackheart, you know, trying to get somebody new in there with the women, taking on Charlotte Flair, and Sasha Banks was cheering her on, got up in the apron and distracted her, and Charlotte ends up winning the match, and Shotzi went nuts. I mean, woo! That was Halloween crazy right there, baby. She lost it. Poor Sasha. But Shotzi Blackheart, you know, maybe getting inserted in the picture. I have not seen the whole match, so I can't. I've seen different reviews that Shotzi was off. And some said, you know, Shotzi was fantastic. The beatdown of Sasha was fantastic. That was well done. But you know, it's just such a mix of here's something great and here's a few things that are miserable. And I just don't get it. Just don't get it. And Roman Reigns wasn't on the show on SmackDown. Left him at home. I don't know. I wonder if he was, putting a new tablecloth on the table. But James, I'm sure you probably got to see Raw and SmackDown. What'd you think of those shows?
I think SmackDown was pretty good. I think the match between the Usos and New Day, even though it's a repetitive, we've seen it a lot. I think it was a good match. I think the Shotzi and ejection of her was well done as well. And I think the absence of Roman Reigns has you think like, okay, why wasn't he on the show? And what is he going to do on next week's show? So I think that was well done. Raw, you know, it's been what it's been. I think it's been that was a great main event. I think Kevin Owens was the MVP of that match. But I think that's a good interjection as well with Rollins in the main event scene there.
Well, and here's my problem with the Usos New Day match being done, not the match itself, because those are two of the greatest teams of all time. There's no question about it. But didn't you just put a crown on Xavier Woods in a singles tournament, and then all of a sudden he's back wrestling a tag team match with, you know, with his new knight, Kofi Kingston, of course, one of the other members of the New Day. Why is he in a tag match? Didn't you give him that title to give him a singles push? So why is he in a tag? What's going on? That's my problem with WWE Creative is you start something and you rarely finish it. And I'm worried about the Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman triangle, which is the biggest storyline on the show. Because I worry that they're going to take it somewhere and it's going to get all convoluted and messed up. And by the time they have the payoff for this whole thing, it's going to be a disaster. Now, I hope Paul Heyman being involved is not going to let that happen. But I get concerned about it. I really do. I mean, do you kind of see where I'm coming from on that?
Could you say that last part again?
I'm worried about how the payoff is going to, you know, things are going to get so convoluted and messed up along the way that the payoff for the Paul Heyman storyline is not going to be good. Like I said, with Heyman being involved in, hopefully it'll be okay, but I worry about it. I really do.
I think that you're warranted with feeling that way, but I really feel that they're going to pull that off well due to just how they have the intrigue right now, which you don't really know which way he's going. Now, you're right that there is a chance that it goes on the wayside. We don't get the payoff we're looking for, but I think with the talent involved with those three people, I think that it's going to be done well. I think it's going to elevate Roman in a way that he needs to be done going into if he's going to have that match with Rock at the next WrestleMania.
If that's going to happen. I've still not heard anybody say The Rock's going to do it. And honestly, I love The Rock, but you know, I just think the time's over, you know, and it doesn't seem to me like I'd rather give somebody else that chance. And then what happens if they do that and Rock beats him? Well, now, you know, Roman Reigns is second best. And you're always going to think of him as second best. And you don't want to do that with your top guy in the company. No, I think it would be a huge mistake. It looks like a great money grab, but once again, it's a long haul thing that WWE doesn't seem like they're thinking about right now. So, my opinion on that one. And I did want to get to talk about AEW. A couple of interesting nights on the shows with Dynamite and Rampage. And a lot of discussions about the Dynamite main event. And if you didn't see it, it was kind of a hoot. A little Halloween-y type thing. The Dark Order taking on the Super Elite. Of course, the Dark Order, Brody Lee's former group, who's went from being really bad to kind of a happy-go-lucky little crew, even though they're the Dark Order. Came out in costumes, you know, and of course, one of my favorites, John Silver, in a Bambi costume. Just unbelievable. And of course, the Super Elite, Adam Cole, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega coming out in Ghostbusters outfits and had some special music and everything. And the match was just chaos. A lot of fun spots, some good wrestling in there too. A little cornball, but of course, the payoff on the whole thing was the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man had accompanied the Ghostbusters out to the ring. They thought that the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man was their guy, Brandon Cutler. It wasn't. There was a guy in a horse costume that came out. They quadruple V triggered him and killed him, as Brian Alvarez likes to say. But it turned out it was Cutler, and the payoff, Hangman Adam Page in the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man costume destroys the Super Elite, and Dark Order wins the match. But a lot of people were saying, God, that was too campy. It was too silly. And, James, what are your opinions about a match like that? Is it over the top?
AEW is kind of killing themselves with that, especially with the Elite. They're really turning them into some, like, middle school recess kids. Like, and you're supposed to believe that they're these world-class wrestlers, but it's hard with them with the antics they do and the matches they have. Like, yeah, they're great, but come on, man. Like, that match was so spotty and, like, kiddie, and
I'll agree with you on that. But, of course, that's a Young Bucks match. Young Bucks match is always spotty. When we say spotty, we're talking that there's, like, really coordinated, if you were in a fight, this would never happen kind of spots. Whoever's on the other end of business is obviously participating and not being, actually getting their butt kicked. But at the same time, I'll defend the match too, because it was Halloween. It was kind of fun. You did get a good payoff where Paige, who's challenging Kenny Omega at Full Gear for the AEW championship, gets the win helps get the win for everybody, and everybody's celebrating. It's Halloween. Everybody goes home happy. So on the other side of it, yeah, it was campy, but there were still some good points in the match, and it was fun. And Adam Page got a nice rub, and everybody, and the crowd was loving it. So not sure what to say, but it really split the wrestling community about that being the main event. And you can hear why just with the two of us talking about it. You hated it. You thought it was terrible. I thought, well, it's reasonable. Not my idea of a perfect match, but it had some fun spots in it. So, any other thoughts on that to finish up?
I think that was a way to almost kill Hangman's momentum. You got him as, this brooding character with every time he has a moment coming back is amazing, his big moment. And I think with that, with him coming out of that costume, luckily the crowd was receptive to it, but what if they weren't? So all that months that you put into him could have been killed by that one moment.
You're right. I mean, fortunately, AEW crowds were popping for it, and they enjoyed it. There was another thing that happened on the show that I thought was very intriguing, and that was the Cody Rhodes promo. Of course, Cody Rhodes is the son of the late great American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And Cody, when he wrestled Aleister Black on the Dynamite that was at the Arthur Ashe Stadium got booed out of the building. And they even talked about it. They're doing a little Roads to the Top reality show series, which I think the season's over. But Cody kind of addressed that, why that he got booed out of the building, even though he was supposed to be the good guy. And the storyline, Aleister Black beat him again, and Arn Anderson and everybody that's around him and his nightmare family said, you know, you lost your edge. And then he went out and beat Aleister Black. But Cody did a promo where he was talking a lot about how he went Hollywood because, you know, he's doing other TV shows and things like that. And he lost his focus, and he's not going to turn his back on the fans. It would be easy to turn into a heel, but he doesn't want to do it. And you could tell that some of that was storyline, but I think some of that was kind of sincere, too. Because, I really think that Cody's upset that people are booing him, even though he's supposed to be one of the good guys. And I was listening to it, and, he was talking about Dusty and all his time in the business and how much he cared about the fans. And, it was pretty poignant. And what did you think about that promo, James?
I feel like he has the right to feel that way, but I feel like he has never made a genuine connection with the fan base in AEW, even though he was instrumental in starting it. Other than that, like, yes, he was very instrumental in starting it and getting it to where it's at. But ever since he's been there, he hasn't made a really connection with the fan base. The Young Bucks have with their classic matches with the Lucha Bros. Kenny Omega has established himself as, maybe the best in-ring worker in the business right now. Hangman Page has, by putting his star value there, MJF, Allen, they all have. But Cody Rhodes has not made a really genuine connection with the fan base yet in AEW. Why do you think that is?
I think it goes back to when he wrestled Chris Jericho and lost and said if he didn't win the match, he'd never get a shot at the world title again. And this is one of your top people. And I think that people, even though he did win the TNT title, he had some great matches with Brody Lee on that. I think people aren't, want to see the bad Cody. And, I think he's in a really tricky situation right now, trying to figure his way out of that. And it's going to be a quandary for him. No doubt about that. No doubt. But I'm rooting for Cody. Obviously I was a big fan of the American Dream, and, for Cody to step out and do what he's done, helping create AEW. I really hope that he does get that straightened out. But on the other side of getting straightened out, boy, did Bryan Danielson take a beating with Eddie Kingston on Rampage. Oh, my God. You want to get a look at what some of these guys do? Google Bryan Danielson's chest. Because he and Eddie Kingston put on a great match on the Friday night show, and Bryan looks like he's going to need Bactine and whatever else you can put on his chest for a good week, because that's going to take a long time to heal. But what a great match that was. What did you think of Eddie Kingston and Bryan Danielson?
I think that was an amazing match. Like I said, the two AEW MVPs definitely are Bryan Danielson and Hangman Page. And really, Bryan Danielson, from an in-ring standpoint, he's been lights out every time he stepped in the ring. Proven why, he's one of the most hype wrestlers of all time. Before he stepped into WWE, he was one of the most hype wrestlers. And he proven why he was there and he's doing it at AEW. And I think why Hangman Page is a MVP at AEW is due to, I think he's the best storyline right now that they have. So I think those two are carrying the promotion right now.
Yeah, and Britt Baker, Dr. Britt Baker DMD is not doing a bad job either. And she had no DQ match with Abaddon, if you've never seen her, she's just looks like a zombie. And wow, Mark Henry getting a great promo in the beginning, no selling the blood coming out of her mouth when she wouldn't answer his question. But boy, they had a pretty decent little match there too. Some biting and some thumbtacks and all sorts of nasty stuff going on there for Halloween. But Abaddon is someone that I think we're going to see more of after that match. I think she and Dr. Britt Baker did a good job, and she looked great.
Yeah, I think she definitely will be. She might be a factor for that TBS championship scene.
Yeah, eventually. I don't, you know, she's not in the tournament, but that will be something to watch. That's for sure. So there's kind of a rundown of everything that happened this week. Real quick, though, I do want to mention Cesaro and Walter. You and I were talking about Walter, who's in NXT UK. They're going to be, Cesaro and Walter are going to be wrestling on that UK tour a few times. And everybody's mad they're not on TV. But that's going to be something pretty cool to watch, I think.
See, that's my problem with WWE. How do you have a potentially classic match and not have it on television?
I know! They've got to do something about that. So Cesaro and Walter are going to be hooking it up overseas. Should be something special for those fans to get to watch in the UK. And we're going to be talking more about Cesaro tomorrow. He had some interesting comments, and we're gonna kind of break that down a little bit. But wow, great show. James Samuel, buddy, good job.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. So tune in tomorrow. We're going to be back with Fish and Joe and whatever else we end up doing, the zaniness and craziness of the Mark Hoke Show. So thank you for joining us once again. Follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show, Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show, MarkHokeShow.com, MarkHokeShow.podbean.com, or any one of your podcast outlets to check out all our old shows, and we'll have this one up as soon as possible. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you tomorrow, 8 a.m., here on KDWN, 101.5 FM, 720 AM, The Talk of Las Vegas. Stick around. We got Harvey Hyde coming up on the Trojan Football Report. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.